In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Today's gospel is a rough one for those of us who are anxiety prone. Jesus says, "Keep awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Or, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." And yet, these exhortations are how we begin the season of Advent, the beginning of the new church year. And Advent means coming or arrival. And for millennia, this season has been one in which we prayerfully consider as the church what Christ's arrival means, which is why we arrive at these readings. But is this primarily about anxiety and fear of judgment? I have to confess, every time I hear this passage, it evokes a bit of hypervigilance within me. You know, keep awake, right? Be ready. Jesus' examples have an edge of foreboding to them. There's descriptions of the apocalyptic flood in the days of Noah, images of theft. We're left a bit on edge. On an even more basic level, this passage conveys a sense of uncertainty. You can see throughout, if you look in your bulletins, see woven throughout the language of the gospel, language of knowing. What is known, what is unknown, it's everywhere. And Jesus offers examples of people taken by surprise and the inevitable question that's such a very human question to ask of what they would have done had they known what was coming. I think in one way or another, in different circumstances, all of us have probably asked this. We can understandably be set on edge with this gospel and perhaps sort of skip thinking about it for some of the warm, fuzzier ones. So does Jesus' call to be awake and to be ready mean that we're supposed to grip the edge of our pews and hang on a bit harder and tighten our resolve to be vigilant? Is this what Advent watchfulness is all about? No. Advent watchfulness is about attending to what truly matters. Jesus is evoking the sense of uncertainty that we experience from not knowing in order to invite us to live towards what is most important. He's talking about how to live faithfully in the face of uncertainty and in the midst of difficult circumstances, especially when they seem at odds with the hope and redemption that God has promised God's people. This text is a very realistic depiction of faith in times of uncertainty. When we let go of false certainty, when we are honest about how little we know about what's coming in our lives, it's a vulnerable place. It's a tender place. The things that are really important have a way of coming into focus, sometimes with shocking speed. Time with loved ones becomes more precious. We take less for granted. We become more fully present. Our love becomes more protective and fierce. This is the quality of watchfulness and attentiveness to which Jesus calls us. This is what it means to be ready for Christ's coming. It's not an invitation to chronic anxiety. It's an invitation to trust in God's faithfulness and love enough that we look for it. We expect it, even or especially in the face of uncertainty. It's an invitation to be fully present to God's voice. How do we trust in God's faithfulness enough to keep our hearts open to hope and to be people of hope when this can feel so at odds with the suffering in the world around us? This isn't a new question. This isn't a new tension. And we're not alone in feeling it. Matthew's gospel text is set just after Jesus warns his disciples that the temple in Jerusalem will be destroyed, an event that would have truly been the end of their world, the very habitation of God desecrated by a pagan government. This tragedy would have been fresh in the mind of the early Christians to whom Matthew's gospel was written. It was truly the end of their world as they knew it. Many in the early church were probably wondering when the reign of God would appear, when Jesus Christ would save them, when the new hope that the prophet Isaiah describes, where swords are beaten into plowshares, would emerge. Or in the 2 a.m. silence, they might have wondered if they had gotten it wrong, and hope may have felt very elusive. Many of us know the places where, in one way or another, our world has ended, and hope is very hard. And so our gospel today directly speaks to situations of longing and uncertainty and struggle with a great deal of realism. Jesus advises us about how to live in an in-between time when we long for a more peaceful world, in which nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Keeping awake, then, is not about hypervigilance. Quite the opposite. It's about being fully present and about holding on to expectant hope that God's faithfulness will not be exhausted and that God will continue to go to all lengths to reach humanity. Jesus reminds his disciples that on one hand, we don't know when or how Christ's reign will come in its fullest, but that doesn't mean we are helpless or hopeless. We can live in such a way now in the present time that aligns with the reign of Christ. We can prepare ourselves to receive Christ more deeply in our lives. Staying awake in hope, then, means being discerning, not being on autopilot, paying attention to what holds our attention. This isn't always easy, and sometimes it's a lot more comfortable to walk through life insulated from our own suffering and the suffering of others, to just be a little bit checked out. Jesus uses the examples that he does because they are events that disrupt life as usual. They shake people back into the present, asking, what am I doing? What have I been doing? As we know all too well, disruptive events have this way of throwing things into relief and highlighting what is truly important. They overturn our priorities, and we can realize that things with which we were once so consumed are not nearly as critical as we made them, or that things that we have neglected deeply need our attention. And the presence of Christ is the ultimate disruptive event that calls us into wakefulness, into an attentiveness to what and who truly matters in the midst of so very many competing voices. Our opening collect for the first Sunday of Advent prays that we might lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Elsewhere in Romans, we are also called to put on Christ like a garment. Advent challenges us to wake up and notice what we are so wrapped up in and what pulls our attention from Christ's presence. And being awake challenges us to ask questions like, what or who do I ignore or take for granted? Where have I been on autopilot? Or what things am I so wrapped up in that I just fail to enfold myself in Christ's presence? During my high school years, I lived in the Chicago area and had the joy of waiting for school buses in below zero temperatures. So how many of you have had this true Midwestern or East Coast experience? I see a few of you there. And so, of course, I bundled up to Pillsbury Doughboy proportions, layers and layers of clothing followed by bags and purses and a flute bag, which, believe it or not, is actually more encumbering than one might imagine. And it's a wonder that I could even toddle my way to the bus stop. And then I'd get on a school bus with blasting heat for a 45-minute drive, and all the layers would have to come off. But by that point, I was so tangled up in purse and backpack straps that I had to have a friend untie all the knots, even to get to the jacket underneath. Has anyone else had this kind of experience? Right, yes, okay. Sometimes we are wrapped up in things that impede our ability to pay attention to what God is saying to us. And it can take time to cast off what we are wrapped up in, and we often need the help of others to pray for us and to speak into our lives to help us untie some of the frozen knots on our shoulders. We may need our friends to challenge us to stop hitting the snooze button, to wake up and step into new life and new hope in fresh ways. And we may need to point others towards hope and be the people that call those whom we care about to wakefulness as well. This is what Jesus is doing in this gospel. In challenging his disciples to stay awake, he's exhorting them to be discerning, to expect, to see and be a part of what God is doing in the world, and to not be consumed by fear or bitterness or dissension. Wakefulness, then, as now, involves choosing a prayerful way of seeking truth and refusing to demonize and turn others into caricatures. It means choosing every day to stay open-hearted, despite all the temptations to shut down, to root and ground ourselves in the love of Christ so that we can love others with a strength that is not our own. Not because everyone in our lives deserves to be treated like this, and maybe depending on where you are after Thanksgiving, you may be thinking about that. But because we have so enfolded ourselves in the love of Christ that it can hold us like a warm blanket and make our hearts more gracious. Because when we are enfolded in Christ, we are not entangled, but held. We live into Advent watchfulness when we are fully present to God's voice, living into a way of love that goes against the grain, that disrupts business as usual, that reflects the heart of God that breaks through all barriers to reach us, and who will not let go until all creation is reconciled to himself. This is the hope that we await. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.